You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart, now and always.
Oh, put your hands together for Jesus, everybody. Put those hands together for Jesus. We celebrate Jesus tonight. We give him praise. I'd like to welcome you all tonight to another time of worship and prayer in the Word. Tonight, I'm starting a new series on the greatest commandment. Listen, this series was triggered by somebody, a young man in church. A few weeks ago, I was having a chat with him. It was a few weeks or a few days ago. And I was talking to him about getting young people to come to church and work in the office on a voluntary basis, to volunteer their time, their effort, to work for God. And a young man told me clearly, his name is Fikayo, and a young man told me that night, he says, Daddy, the problem we have is our people do not love God sufficiently enough. That because people don't love God, they won't want to volunteer for God. Now, when you love God deeply, passionately, you will then volunteer for God. You will work for God. You will seek God's blessings. You will not complain. And that got me thinking. Because immediately after Fikayo told me that, and he hung up the phone, and we got off that conversation, I began to pray about that phrase. And I said, God, do we still love you? What's the big deal about loving God? And I prayed about it, and God gave me the word that I should teach on the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. So the theme is the greatest commandment. I'm going to take my text from Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter, from verse number 35. It says there, then one of them which was a lawyer. A lawyer in scripture simply means someone who understood the law of Moses, an expert in the law of Moses, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, next verse, Master, which is the greatest or great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus answered to him and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, not all. With all thy soul, not part, with all thy man. The word all simply means whole. The word all is from the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. So when God was saying, love the Lord with all, he was saying with whole. Don't love God partly. Love God full. So that's why we have the word wholehearted devotion. Wholehearted love. Not half-hearted. So Jesus said, this is the first and the great commandment. The next verse says to us, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this word today with understanding, with unction, with utterance, in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, you will hear this word and you will touch their hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Praise God. Now, if you look at that verse, verse 40 is a very critical verse. Jesus now said, on these two commandments, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. The word hang means to derive your power, derive your inspiration, just derive, that becomes the source. On these two, meaning Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, the entire Old Testament scriptures, most of them, came from these two laws. The first one, which is the greatest commandment, is that vertical relationship we have with God. Thou shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Now the second, this is the primary, the second is the secondary, is the horizontal. Thou shall love your neighbor. Now the reason I'm struggling to love my neighbor is because I don't have this sorted out. If you have this right, if your vertical is right, it will be a lot easier to do horizontal. Because then the vertical, watch me, influences the horizontal. The vertical will inspire you to do the horizontal. If this is not there, This you will struggle. Except that is your blood brother, blood sister, your father, your mother. You will find it difficult to love those outside your family, your siblings. But when you have this sorted out, to be easier to do that. But that's not the point tonight. The point is this. There's a third one. And tonight I'm going to try to explain the third from a different perspective. Jesus said to that lawyer, which is the greatest commandment, what Christ was saying in Matthew 22 is that my own version, let me get this version. So said the summary of the Christian faith, the summary, to summarize Christianity, our entire Christian faith, to summarize it, what Jesus was saying is this: love God, love people. That's what the Christian faith is. Watch me. Anything outside that is not Christianity. Any other thing you do outside loving God, when he said on this two and all the law and the prophets, we need to teach those two more often. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thine soul, all thy mind, and all thy might. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the laws and the prophets. If we don't get it right at that point, we have a problem. So that young man that said to me, Fikayo, that daddy, is because we don't love God. That got me thinking, Ejiro, that could it be true that the problem with us as Christians is the point of loving God? But then I didn't understand that until the third dimension of love. And the third dimension of love is what we preach and we teach more often. What's that? That's the part. The first one is love God. Second, love the people. But the part we teach and preach more is what? God loving us. God loving us. The love that God has towards us is what we call the grace of God. What we call what? The grace. Titus chapter 2. That's the grace of God. The grace of God simply means God's love towards us. Now, the topic of today's message is the grace theology and the human response. The grace theology and the human response. Now, what we teach more, what we preach more, is God loves you. After all, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten son. John chapter 3, verse number 16. We pounded the pulpit over the years with John 3:16, because that's how we preach. That's how we teach. That's how we know. So people now understand that God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. Unconditional love. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is the grace theology. However, what about the human response? Watch me. What Jesus was saying is that the greatest commandment in the law, and when God said commandment, let me quickly correct an impression. He wasn't speaking about greatest suggestion. No. He was not speaking a democratic term. No. Christ was not using a democratic terminology. No. He was using a theocratic term. Because God as king gives a decree or a commandment. Because it was a lawyer asking, not like today's lawyer, that sit together to draft a constitution or a legislation so that man can then live. No, this is not what you can vote for or vote against. When you speak about a commandment, it's not the greatest opinion, it's not the greatest suggestion. Rod Parsley preached that many years ago, and I heard it and my heart shocked. He said to us, he said, the greatest commandment has been misunderstood by human beings. He said, the greatest commission has been misunderstood by human beings. Those two things are very important. For me, that's why if you're going to go to heaven, listen, I've said this 1,000 times, you can debate it anywhere. The greatest commandment is a key to entering heaven. When you get inside heaven, the greatest commission is your secret to your elevation and your crown in heaven. The greatest commission is evangelism. The greatest commandment is love. Love that is dual in nature. Love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor. Can I say it again? Love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor. If you don't do this and do that, how can you even preach to the world? Now, the greatest commission, which is the third part, has to do with taking the grace, watch me, the grace of God to the world, to preach to the world, for God so loved the world, not the church. Because the church is not the world. In that passage, the church are the people that have believed in the world. When they now come inside, then that John 3:16 is not for them. So when I was on the crusade ground many years ago, I preach on the crusade ground every time. And when I go to the world, I go with a message of grace. God loves you. Watch me. Come as you are. Watch me. God commended his love towards us, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So to the unbelievers, that's a gospel that will make them come. You see, God commended his love towards us when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is a message. That is a grace. Now, we have preached that grace that's meant to bring men into the church. We've now turned the church to a crusade ground. There's a difference between a pulpit, a church pulpit, and a crusade platform. But because we've stopped doing our job there, we know that we have so many unbelievers in church, so every Sunday we stay there preaching to thousands of people the message of salvation. And in preaching to them, we preach, God loves you. Come as you are. The blood of Jesus washes you clean, will make you whole. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet it sounds. We pound it, we preach it. But a few of those guys are now saved. They still appreciate God's grace, but they want to now grow in grace. 1 Peter 3, verse 14 or 18. They want to now grow in grace. But we don't have to teach men to grow in grace anymore. We still pound it and pound it and pound it. So there are three dimensions to it. The first is God's grace towards us. That's grace theology. But this theme of our message is to concentrate on what? Human response. Praise God. I want to concentrate on what? On human response. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Luke chapter 10 verse 25, you see the other passage there. The same central theme on grace theology and human response. So what Phicaeus said to me touched my heart, and I began to ask God, help me very clearly. How do we respond rightly? If it's true that we do not love you the way we should love you, how can we love you? How can my love? Because love, from that passage in Matthew's gospel, the 22nd chapter, is very measurable. For he used the word measure. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Why did God say all? Because it's possible to love him with half, with part, not with all. So what God is asking for is not to love him with half of your heart or part of your soul, but with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might, with all your mind. And to explain love to you very well, I'll have to try to, the next 2-3 weeks, I'll be trying to break that down. Because it is very clear to me that all of us love God differently. All of us here. Most people will tell you they love God. Everybody will say they love God. Nobody in their right senses will say, I hate God. I'm here to find somebody. Even a madman will tell you, I love God. So nobody will say they hate God. But when we speak about God's love, and we must be honest with you, we have to be honest with ourselves to know that God's love is measurable. The way we love him differs. This gentleman here, Delapo, may love God much more than Ejiro, or much more than Fumi. Fumi say, no, I love God more. So it's more, ideally, we should be competing in a house, healthy competition, without us even doing it deliberately, towards loving God. Towards loving God. I want to love God. And that's what this message is meant to trigger. So for us to do that very well, I'm going to give you 3 levels of loving God. And I'll explain that to you in a short while. Three levels of loving God. The silver lover, the gold lover, and the platinum lover. In the next 3 weeks, I'll explain to you what each one means. Who is the silver lover? The characteristics, the traits of someone who loves God with silver. The trait of someone who loves God like a gold. And the trait of someone who loves God with a platinum love. Because gold must be tried in fire. Our love towards God and for God will be tried. We're not talking about God's love towards us. Please don't forget that. We're not talking about God's love. All of us know that. That one is given. In this matter, it is what? Given. So I'm not here to discuss God's love. No, we're not there. The Bible says it was in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished, has given unto us. So I'm not discussing God's love towards us. Ephesians 3, verse 18 says to us that we may understand the depth, the length, the breadth, and the height of God's love. So I'm not here to discuss that love, because I'm sure you all know that. If you don't, then we need to teach you that again to come to Christ. I'm not here to talk about God, the grace theology. No, the grace theology is God loves us unconditionally. God loves us the way we are. Violet, I'm not here to discuss that. I'm here to discuss human response. Like a man that loves a woman, you want her to respond back to you. So let's agree here today, and for those of you watching me, that this message has nothing to do with God's love. It's not defective, it's whole, it's unconditional, it's total. God has done everything he could do. There's no way God can love us more. He's given us the best. His son hung on that cross of Calvary. That's the best God could do. He's given us his very, very best. So listen, thank you. God does not need to prove to us again that he loves us. That's why Romans 8:32 says, how can you be doubting God's love? He that there's nothing you want from God that God will not give to you. He that did not spare his own son. He that spared not his own son. Look at that, was spared, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not. So as I speak to you now, it's on record, heaven has recorded it, that God has given his best. I don't think God had. There is nothing more that God could do to show that he loves us that he hasn't done. It's that we don't understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of God's love. It takes you teaching, it takes you experience to understand that. God has done everything he could do to show us that he loves us. 1 John chapter 4. That's why 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 from verse 9. Give me 1 John chapter 4. I like that passage so very much. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Praise God. Holy Ghost, help us. This is God's love. This is how God has shown his love. For me, if I give you $1 million, then I have not shown my love towards you, because I have 200 million left. I have $1 billion. But if I empty my account and I give you everything that I have, I've showed you how much I love you in terms of money. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, no, but that he actually loved us first and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Then go to verse 19. Verse 19 is a summary. Dolapo, verse 19 is the word, a summary of everything we're saying. We love him, our response. Why? Because he first loved us. Grace. So we're discussing what? Our human response, because he first loved us. Don't you ever forget that word first. You know why? What he's saying is this. Watch me. God is not loving us because we love him first. Because some of you think, oh, watch me. And that's a hero. If I can only give God this thing, then God will love me back. Whatever you are doing, is it what? A response. He has already loved you first. Some of us keep thinking, maybe, just maybe, if I now give him some money, then he will then bless me back. He's already done what he can never do for you. There's nothing more. He first loved us. He first loved us. And this is very important for marriage. I'm not doing marriage today. He first loved us. The love, people have asked me, between a woman and a man, who should love? Is the he that should love? You women should respond. If you see a marriage where the woman is loving and the man is responding, pack your bag and leave. But don't tell them I told you. Because it's something wrong. He first loved us. Then we respond. And today, like I said, this month, I'll be pounding this pulpit. I'll be opening the pages of scriptures to check your love, to discuss your love towards God. Not mine, not his. Your love towards God. Do you love God? Because God, we're not discussing God's love towards us. That one is given. We are checking, evaluating, assessing our own love towards God. And the way we'll do it is this. We're going to do it in two ways. I told you we're going to take a man called Samson. Samson loved three women in his life. Three women. One in Judges chapter 14. Two in Judges chapter 16. You find in Judges chapter 14 that Samson liked a woman in this place. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman of the daughters of Philistine. Because you human beings can only relate with contemporary issues. So I'm going to use a woman and a man relationship to explain the three layers or three categories of love. So you can ask yourself, where do I fall into? Samson liked a woman. And this woman was the woman that Samson married. Oh no, you missed that. Samson married the woman he liked. And the woman, it didn't work. Number two, Samson lusted after a woman. Judges chapter 16. That's a prostitute. Judges 16 verse 1 to you see, Samson saw a harlot. And Samson now went in to that harlot. That is to lust after. You see, there she saw an harlot and went in unto her. Now, an harlot is a prostitute. Judges 14, Samson liked the first L. 16, Samson lost it. That's it. The third one, Samson loved Delilah. Oh God. Judges 16 as well. You find verse 4. And Samson loved, you see, and Samson loved a woman. So we have three L's. Watch me. Liked, lust, and love. Same also with human beings, with God. The lust is what I call the silver lover. The like, what I call the gold lover. The loved is what I call what? The platinum lover. Platinum lover. So you will see when I'm done that Peter, oh Jesus, please don't go there. Peter, in my opinion, was a gold lover, not a platinum. John was a platinum lover. My God. How many disciples stayed with Christ when he was on the cross? Only one, John. I will show you what it means to love somebody. So we can ask ourselves, do we love God? Do you love God? A silver lover, guess what they do? It's lust. Watch me. Because you lust after somebody. Hey, Jiro, lust means what? You want to pay to sleep with her. Oh, God, help me. You want to use her. Oh, Lord, help me. The reason you are close to her is to take from her. Can you please put God there for a moment? So when we lust after the idea of God, everything we're doing in church is to what? Get from God. Use God. Rob God. Take from God. Ask him to give to us. Listen, 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 listen. You don't really care about her feelings. You don't really care about her matters. You don't really care about her health. All you care about, watch me, your pleasure. Your pleasure. That's exactly why silver lovers in church will not go the extra mile for Jesus. That's why they will say, I can't kill myself. If you are Christian saying, I can't kill myself, they are just using God. They use the name of Christ. Everything they do for God is to get some impact from God. They are users. They are users. They are users. They just want to use God to bless them, to lift them, to promote them, to give them. They want to rape God, rob God, take from God. And so, and guess what? After all, I love him. That is a dimension of love that we call infatuation, that we call lust. You lost after manna from the fall. Everything got... So the day God does not give you, what do? You slander him. You backslide. You walk away from God because your love for him is silver, not gold, not platinum. Next week, I will teach you and give you 10 characteristics from the Bible of silver lovers. You will not ask yourself, I hope I'm not a silver lover. Because we have so many silver lovers in church. And that's why they don't put their best into the things of God. Can I tell you what Jesus meant when he said in Mark chapter 12? When he said, he mentioned four things in Mark chapter 12. Four things. Watch me. Four things. Love God with your mind, with your might, with your soul, with your heart. I've divided that four into three categories. Mind, your head. Might, your physical strength. Heart and soul, your being. So one is devotion. One is affection. One is emotion. Mind is head. Just reasoning and thinking and sense. Trying to rationalize. That's why you struggle in loving God. For every directive you get from heaven, you try to what? Rationalize it. Think it through before you obey God. Might is zeal. Might is energy. Might is where you and I put passion. Somebody can be so passionate for God without even thinking about what they are doing. You can have zeal without knowledge. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Zeal without knowledge. Very clear. So we have the silver lover, those that lust after God. Then we have the gold lover. Who are those? These are people that like God but not love God. You know, you can like somebody and not love the person. You can like a girl. Samson liked that girl, did not love that girl. Samson actually, for months, let me tell you the story. Samson came to town, picked up that girl, told the parents, I'd like to marry this babe. And the parents said, no, the person is only Jew. He said, no, don't worry. That's not what I want. So go and get her for me. So the parents went to Philistine to go and ask any marriage from her parents. On his way, he saw his lion. The lion attacked him. He killed the lion. So when he got to the place, he gave him a riddle. He said, what is stronger than lion, and what is, sweeter than honey or bee? So give him a riddle in Judges 14. If you can solve that riddle in 7 days, I'll give you 100 foreskins. And so they couldn't solve it. On the seventh day, they put pressure on his new wife. They said they will burn the lady and her father's house if she doesn't tell them the secret. All of this is found, can be found in Judges 14. So the lady came to Samson. Samson was a very strong man, anointed, talented, gifted, but very weak when it comes to women. Because the two women had to put pressure on that fellow. Bible says, when she pressed him, he gave up. So he told her the riddle. So she went back to the lords of the Philistines, and she told them the riddle. And they were very happy. So when Samson came the seventh day, they told Samson the riddle. And Samson was angry, upset, leave it with them. So he went in to kill 100 Philistines, brought the foreskins, and he gave it to them. So Samson just went away for months. For months. Your new wife, he didn't love her. He liked her. The young ladies, listen to me. The proof that he doesn't love you is he can spend a long time without seeing you and he's okay. Company reveals heartbeat. So if your heart is beating towards somebody, you want to see the person, you want to be around the person. So for months, he went. When he came back, the father had given, father-in-law, given the girl to his best friend, the best man, back in the town. So he got angry again. He went to the field. He tied some foxes together, put some fire on their tails, released the foxes to go into the fields, the cornfields, and they set their cornfields on fire. Why? He liked her. He didn't love her. He liked her. I had no child for him. Nothing like that. It's clear. Now, many of us like God, do not love God. The problem with like and not love is you become, you serve God conveniently. You serve God conveniently, not sacrificially. And today we're asking you, how much do you love God? For God's love can be measured. God's love should be measured. There's no static love. There's no love. Well, this is the peak of God's love. We need to love Him passionately. Love Him with all our hearts, all our souls. Put your head into it. Put your heart into it. Put your mind into it. The three in one shows you love God. It's not one of the three. It's the three put together that shows your platinum love for God and for the things of God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Listen, the Bible tells us different times, different people responded to God's love differently. And like the woman with the alabaster box in Luke chapter 7, verse 40 to 48, that woman loved God so much. That was Simon that invited Jesus to his house. That was this woman, the Bible says, who knew to be a prostitute in town. She also moved into the house of Simon. Simon, those of us that like God, not love God, we usually tell God, well, I'm entitled to your visitation. I'm entitled. Do you know how many Christians believe that if God will visit human on earth with a miracle, the house will be the first? Why? I am entitled to it. There was this woman, Luke chapter 7. She came to Jesus. She broke the box. She wept. She used the hair of her head to wipe the feet of Jesus. And Simon was saying, if this man were to be a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this woman. Why? And so Jesus had to reply. He said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. Next verse. Next verse. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. Look at 500 to 50. Look at the gap. Times 10. And this is very key for all of you to know how, why it looks like some of us love God more than others. This is the key. This is the key. And when he had nothing, they had nothing to pay, both of them, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of these two do you think will love God more? If you are a creditor and you forgive somebody, two people, 500 and 50, which of the two do you think will love God more? Actually, the answer is one that has placed more price on the act of forgiveness. But because the debt here was heavier than the debt there, so the one that is owing much more would be happier to be forgiven much more. Are you with me now? Now, because love is determined by the worth you place on the blood of Jesus. Many of us do not place a lot of worth on that blood on the cross of Calvary. We presume that if Jesus had not died on the cross, I probably would still make it to heaven. Some of us think that we don't need the blood to get to heaven. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said, thou hast rightly judged. How do you mean? Listen. He turned to that woman and he said to Simon, Simon, see this woman, I entered your house. I entered your own house. I didn't go to a house, though. Watch me. I didn't go to a house. I told you earlier on that there are some people's homes I go to, the way they receive me in their houses, they make me look like I'm the president of Nigeria and I'm a pastor. Daddy has come. They jump up and down. They give me all kind of things. This guy, I went to one man's house many years ago. My boot was loaded with gifts. I did not tell the man I was coming. He gave me cash for coming to his house. He loaded my boot with gifts. I was too afraid to go back there in 1 year because I don't want him to think that he has come again. The man was shocked, he and his wife. Reverend could come to our house. There are other places I've gone to innocent. It's normal. Hey, come inside, sit down. Sir, will you take water? You offer me water after 30 minutes of sitting down. Is it water you want or juice? Is it your special juice? Familiarity. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Auntie, go and give that the juice, or is he waiting for the juice? So Jesus said, I entered your house. This man did not even count it worthy for me to come to your own house. And what happened? Thou givest me no water for my feet. Oh, this is a message. So how do I know, those of you that love God more, how you take care of his presence and his servants? Jackson, you didn't hear that. How do you know those that love God more? This is how to know in church how we love God. We all differs. We all love God differently. He's there. He said, he gave me no water for my... But this woman has washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Next verse. You gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Is my head with oil? Thou did not anoint, according to culture. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Abba, Abba. Therefore, I say to you, our sins, which are many, she values my presence more, she's valued the blood more, are forgiven. Why? Why is her sins forgiven? Say it again. She loved much. Underline that in your Bible. That means love is what? Measurable. She loved much. Underline that. She loveth much. She loveth much. Her love towards me is more than you have loved me. It's a very serious statement. Very serious. She loves me more than you have loved me. I'm not saying you don't love me, but your love is silver love. But this one, platinum. Platinum. She loveth much. And so the question is, and as I said, the one that love and to whom little is forgiven. The same did what? Jenkins. Loveth little. So please, extract verse 47 and you remove two phrases. Look at me. Little love, much love. Little love gets little forgiveness. Forget about forgiveness. Means a batch of grace. Much love, much forgiveness, a batch of grace. Could that be the reason why David attracted more grace? Because David loved God. Ooh, David was a platinum lover. In 3 weeks time, next week, I'll teach on silver lover. 2 weeks time, gold lover. 3 weeks time, platinum lover. I will explain to you how David excelled Saul. David's sins in scriptures seemed to be more than Saul. David, he killed, committed adultery. You can't mention one adultery Saul did. David, Abba, David. He was even ganged up with the Philistines to attack Israel. David. Yet God said, a man after my own heart. He could not stand the fact that Goliath was talking against God. Oh, where are we fight? Saul was there eating rice and chicken for 40 days, discussing the war strategy. Why somebody was attacking God, abusing God, slandering God. Goliath came out every time, abusing your God, and you're still doing board meeting. Which board meeting? Cancel board meeting. Cancel board meeting. David said, they are doing board meeting. This uncircumcised Philistine is abusing our God, the Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and we are here doing meeting. What shall be given? How to go and fight? You will die. Enemy die. Love. Brethren, there is little love and there is much love. Can we measure our love for God? That's why people don't work in the ushering department, in the music ministry, in the media department. We keep saying, no, I can't die. I can't die for God. Oh, I can't go the extra mile. I was telling you earlier on about one man, about my early church. in our church at Adelapo. Initial pastors, Pastor Pedro is listening to me now, and Pastor Fela Bankolemo. We used to have a church when we just had full time. We used to have some pastorate then, 5-6 of us. One of our pastors then, Emmanuel Zubu and Fela, my son, before this change, when we were talking and playing, we were just joking and playing and gisting. They would say, Reverend, we cannot kill ourselves. I cannot die. And we would just gist around it. Until one day my wife came to tell me that that phrase, it's not a positive phrase. It's a negative phrase. It's going to kill service, sacrifice in the church. How can you say you cannot kill yourself? But he killed himself for you. He died for you. You're saying you cannot go the extra mile for God? And we're all just joking, but it has become a culture where in our service here, we almost have a measured amount of effort to serve God. Anything outside this place, we cannot go there. We almost tell ourselves, no, not that point. We can't go there. We can't go. Even God on that, I cannot love him that much. This is too much, exactly. How can you say it is too much for God? Can God understand that you cannot love him that much? Can God understand? I'm not a pastor. It's not about pastoring. It's about being a Christian. The Christian thing, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It isn't for pastors, for Christians. That's why Jesus was annoyed with Peter when he came back at the third time. John chapter 21. The third time Jesus came back from the grave, he appeared to Peter. John 21, he appeared. Bible says this was the third time. Third time. Verse 14. The third time. Let me explain to you what happened. Let me give you a timeline. Jesus was arrested at the Passover night. Between Passover and Pentecost, there are 50 days in the Jewish feast. That's why it's called Pentecost. They spent 10 days where on the upper room praying before the Pentecost came. So if you net 10 days from 50, you have 40 days. From the time he died, the third day he rose from the dead, he came to appear to them. This was the third time. So it's safe to assume that in 30 days, that you have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, in 30 days, you could not wait for 30 days. 30 days, they had already gone back fishing. Peter said, I go fishing. And that fishing means I go back to my former business, because he was a fisherman before Christ called him. So he said, this thing we are doing is not working. This Christianity is not working. Let me go and look for my former job. Let me dust my CV and go and get a means of livelihood. So Jesus came and Christ was not happy. This is now the third time. I think it was verse what? Give me. The third time, you see, that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Third. So watch me. Jackson, if I can only see him one time physically in his glorified, resurrected body, that visit, that encounter will last me for 50 years. I cannot backslide. Once, to see Jesus bodily, once. This guy saw him 3 times after he rose up from the dead in 30 days or 40 days. Why should you even be considering fishing? Why should you? So Jesus now gave them food. He now asked them, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, more than this? Look at it. Lovest thou me more than this? He said to him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my lambs. Christ was saying, you don't love me. You can't work for me without loving me. So you cannot see why we're not committed, Pastor Jenkins. You can see that for us to feed, we must love. For us to work for him is a function of how much we love him. He asked him again the second time, Jonas, Simon, lovest thou me? There are different translations. Some is agapeo. Then the third is phileo. The third love he used in Greek was phileo. The first two was agapeo. Are you sure this love is so friendly, mutual, that nothing can break us? You've all forgotten this. Saint Peter did what? Backslided. You've forgotten. This Saint Peter did what? Denied him. And he wept. He, he wept. After he denied him, he wept. This guy wept. And he's gone back to fishing. Good. That's why some people that cry, I don't respect them anymore. Because you can be crying and you don't mean it. Well, you can, he wept. Another weeping, he went back to fishing. He cried. God, I'm sorry. He cried for betraying him. Yet, he did what? He went back to fishing. Lovest thou me. He said, Lord, I love you. The third time, for you to know he doesn't love him, he got angry. Look at Peter, lovest thou me. More than this. And then Peter was grieved. Shepani, see by force. I said, I love you. What's all this nonsense? He was grieved because he said to him, lovest thou me third time. So, you know, if you love him, you won't be grieved. If you love him, you won't be grieved. Lovest thou me? He said to him, Lord, look, do you know all things? If you say I don't love you, I agree. If you say I love you, I agree. We are at that point in our lives today where God is asking us, lovest thou me? More than this. Or, are there things in your life that you love more than me? Are there things that you love more than me? Because you and I know today that the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Are there things, your job, your body, your health, your beauty, your name, your degree, your image? Are there things in your life that you truly love more than me? That's why my heart is broken today. My heart is broken. When I was much younger, in my 20s, I gave my life to God. I gave my whole life, my future to God. My entire life to God. Because it was my commitment level. Today, I knew from get-go that I would end up in ministry. It was a decision I made, Raymond, to serve him. Watch me. It had nothing to do with this. What's this? Money. No. I decided that if I'll be broke, I'll be broke. If I'll be poor, I'll be poor. Listen, innocent. It's my choice. Allow me to make my choice. The right of choice is mine, not yours. Some young people make up their minds to work for God in church. And some people go and discourage them. They say, why are you working for God? Go and do something better with your life. Can you imagine the insult on God himself? How dare you say working for God is not good enough? How dare you? How dare you say any other job is better than working for God? It's a shame that you serve mammon unashamedly. If anybody tells you what they told me then, there was a man, a banker, in my former church, who looked at me, sat me down, and said, why are you wasting your life? He told me that, don't you know that you have to go and get a very good degree, get a very good job, that your future is bright? How? Ministry is not where serious-minded people go to. Shh. We are saying it today. How can you say ministry? It's my choice. You chose to be a banker. You chose to be a oil and gas. So you can take your pillars to heaven. I chose to serve humanity and serve God. It's my choice. Mother Teresa chose that. She left her place from a middle-class, upper-class family in Albania. She went to the poorest of the poor, where? In India, Calcutta, to serve humanity. And she made a choice. Took a vow and an oath of poverty. And you are not saying she didn't live a life, good life. That's your own business. A young lady took up a job in our church a few months back or years back. People in the church despised her. You despise those that work in the church office. Why? The fact that you cannot work there, should you discourage those working there? The fact that you are backslidden, should you make others backslide like you? The fact that you love this more than God, and they love God more than this, you're now fighting them for loving God more than this? You now start saying they are doing eye service. But now we see people that are doing much more for God than us. Because we cannot do it, we can't even think about doing it. We tend to think it is not normal, so it must be eye service. It's not high service, it is heart service. It is heart service. they can stay in God's presence from morning till night. It's their choice. Some people take a vow of celibacy, not to marry. It's their choice. Some take their degrees and throw it away and say, I don't want this degree. I want to serve God for the rest of my life. It's their choice. Respect them. Encourage them. Bless them. You should be feeling sorry for yourself, not for them. You should say, oh, this is what I cannot be. I wish I could do this. Oh, God, look, whatever I can do to support you, I'll support you financially. Because I wish I could serve God like this, but I don't have the love like that. My love is gold love, not platinum love. Pray for us not to condemn those that decide to go into ministry. In the Catholic Church, in the Baptist Church, in the Methodist Church, in those churches, people at 18, 19, 20, 21, they tell themselves, I want to serve God. They tell them to Bible school, seminary, quite early in life. Am I right? And they train them. Because ministry is a career. We did a survey recently. Most people do not see ministry as a career. It's wrong. A career is an occupation that needs training. You can't be in ministry without training. Be not deceived by all those who are not trained that do ministry. They are not. Because ministry needs training, ongoing training. Today I look back 32, 33, 34 years ago. I have absolutely no regrets. I never knew I would land up where I am today. I never knew I would end up here. Let me tell you what happened. My family was so concerned about my future. They thought I was crazy, I was insane. That's why sometimes those of us that are forgiven much, we seem to love God more. Maybe because of us came from Muslim background. Because the ex-Muslims seem to love Christ more than you people that are born again from mother's wombs. Those of you ex-Catholics, ex-Baptists, those of us that came from Islam seem to love this God more than you. I don't know why. Maybe because we treasure the cross more. We value the blood more. We understand our sinful nature more. We say, God, thank you for saving me. Amazing grace. How sweet it sounds. Many years ago, my family was so concerned. Three of my brothers came together in the UK. They said, okay, let's get your me out of Nigeria. That guy, what's he doing? They said, he's always every weekend, always going to one village. Village, doing what? He said, he's preaching. Preaching to who? How? The man is wasting his life. Three of my brothers came together, my dear. They gathered money. They sent me a ticket. So I should come to London, early 80s. And they found a good school for me. They thought that I love reading. Maybe I would then. That's okay. No, it's just okay. They found a Bible school that I can go into to get better. They thought that would lure me out of the country. I went and prayed about it. God said to me in the camp, stay. So I called them, hey guys. God said, stay. Are you mad? Which God said, stay? The same God. So I met one of my partners. He said, you're a servant of God. And I had no clue where I would end the ministry. All I just knew was, you know what, guys? If it's a bad decision, let it be. But as far as I'm concerned, I have peace with the decision. I know it may not have money or financial implications. I know. It wasn't money driving it. Because I love God more than this. What's this? Fish. What's that fish for? To sell? When you sell, you make money. Because he was a fisherman. So I loved God more than this. This that can give me money. This that can give me money. I loved God more. I love that, but I love God more. The problem is not loving fish, but loving fish more than God. So when God said, you love me more than this, we're not saying do not love this, but you love me more than this. And the answer was really yes, but the truth was no. And that's where we are today. Nobody's saying you shouldn't love your job or love your work or love your money. We're saying, do you love God more? That's all. Nobody's saying, no. We're saying, do you love God more? Do you love God more? And John, I know the answer is no. You will give the same Peter's answer. Yes. Everybody will say, yes, I love thee. But in actual fact, 25, 30 days, the truth is, the answer was no. Do you think Jesus did not know the answer when he was asking the question? He's all knowing, omniscient. You knew the answer. I was trying to trigger him, to stimulate him to think. To say, how can you begin to go this far already? We still have a long journey together. Praise God. I said, praise God. The human response is important. You need to answer that question as individuals. Do you love God more than this? The best lover in the scriptures for me, the best lover, and I'm rounding up now, the best lover in the Bible, the best lover was Job. Job was a platinum lover. Job, you know, say, Job, in your Bible, for me, he is more than Abraham, more than David. Job was a platinum lover. That even God, in Job chapter 1, verse 8, 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, God testified of Job. God said, of all the men on earth, have you found my servant Job? Have you considered him? Nobody on earth loves me, fears me like this guy. And then Satan said something that all of you know. Sir, you know human beings. Scratch my back, I scratch your back with claws. Nothing goes for nothing. Sir, does Job fear you for nothing? In other words, the only reason he fears you and loves you is because you have protected his house. You have blessed him with a good job. His substance has increased. You have made him rich, Abba. And that's why he loves you now. Sir, put your hand down. Touch all that he has. He will cast you to your face. Hey, this scripture may not be your portion in Jesus' name. I say you will not get to that point in Jesus' name. Where you will curse God because of the mundane material things of this world. So when Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's what he's saying. Shall famine, shall COVID, shall pestilence, shall losing my job during pandemic, what shall separate me? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So Satan was just saying, let me pull up an whole trick in the book. Because Satan was saying something that's very, very serious. That I've studied human psychology and human beings. For every man that loves God and fears God is because of something. And God said, yes, I agree with you. Most men love me for something. But this one, Job, this one, take everything he has, don't touch his life, he will still love me. Hey, Baba, find me like that. Take everything, take his job, take everything, he will still love me. Some of you have just lost phone, you've lost job during COVID. You're already hating God, fighting God, cursing God. COVID will soon go. You are fighting God right now. You are saying that this God is not be faithful. Job stood with God. He did not curse God. That's a platinum lover. That's not a person that loves God for what he's getting. That's a silver lover. That's lust. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and everything that you have and you are. That's the greatest commandment. Today I cannot say that most of us are doing that. Solomon in 1 Kings 3:3, Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. I like that scripture so very much. Every time I read it, my heart bleeds. I go on my knees. I say, God, please get me to that point to just have a summary. And you may love the Lord. Let that just be my own testimony. To just say about me. And Solomon loved the Lord. Look at that statement. Very deep, very strong, very, very strong. And Solomon loved the Lord. That was before he loved strange women. For they took his heart away from God. And Solomon loved the Lord. Brethren, let's think about it again. We're not talking about God's love towards us, which is God's grace. We're talking about man's love towards God. Human response to divine love. Number one is measurable. We can measure it. And I'll give you three dimensions for ease of reference. Using Samson's experience of like, lust, and love. Silver, gold, and platinum. Each person here will always be in one of those three. You may be a silver lover, please, from today. Move up your love towards God to gold lover. Aim to be a platinum lover. You may be a gold lover. Oh, please, I beg you, don't go down. Don't downgrade to silver lover. Because Solomon started well by being a platinum lover. He ended at one point as a silver lover. For the women took his heart. Love is not static. You can be this high and go low. Many of you guys, when you were in university, you loved God. You are doing everything. But look at today. Tell me, in your heart, do you still love God the way you used to love God? That's why God said to them in Revelation chapter 3, go back to your first love. Your first love. Oh, God, help me. May I never be in a position where I need to go back to my first love. Let my current love be hotter than my first love. You miss that. Gideon, I pray, Yomika Sally, for you and others. May my current love for God be better, be hotter than my first love. When I consider my first love, may it not be as much as what I do now. But if God has to come back to you and say, son, go back to your first love, that means there's something wrong with the way you love me now. Because towards the end of his life, Solomon went back to God. He now wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He wrote that book when he had backslidden. He wrote the book of Proverbs when he was still in his wealth. He wrote Ecclesiastes towards the end of his life, twilight. That's why he said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. He said, I made everything I wanted. I had myself women, pool, houses. There was nothing. He said, I found under the sun, it's all empty. It's all vanity. There's nothing. So nothing is as good as us having food to eat and to drink and to marry. So the man had to summarize life. Summarize life. He said, the summary of it all, the preacher. The summary, vanity of vanity, said the preacher. All is vanity. What a way to summarize. So in the last chapter, chapter 12, the last verse, now the conclusion of all things is this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Give me Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now fear God. The conclusion of all things is this. Fear God. That is the whole duty of man, which is to love God. Let us hear the conclusion of all matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. For this is what? This is a message. Who said this? Solomon. When? Towards the twilight of his years. Saying what? Hey guys, listen. I've tasted wealth. Shh. I've tasted fame. Shh. I've tasted women. Shh. I've tasted power. Shh. Vanity. Listen to me. Vanity. The conclusion of all things is to fear God, keep his commandments, the great commandments, and do what? For this is the whole duty of man. Put your hands together, everybody. Put your hands together, everybody. Can you please rise to your feet? Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. This is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Tonight we're looking at the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Can you please check your heart and begin to measure your love for God? Next week I will talk to you more about the silver lover. Let's ask ourselves, Lord, do I love you as much as I should? Do I have a first love experience? That means the last love is not a good one. Do I have to do more? How can I improve my walk with you, Lord? Do I normally say I can't kill myself? It's too much for me. Is there anything like too much for God? Can you get to the point where I say it's too much to give to God? You must never get there. Let me pray with you, all of you at home. For those of you that are now making statements of repentance, bow your heads. Repeat after me. Say, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Touch my heart to love you much more than ever I've ever done. Make me a platinum lover that I may sacrifice and give you my time, my talent, and my treasure. That I may raise my commitment towards you higher in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for those who have prayed at home and those here also. I pray, Lord, that you touch their hearts indeed. Make us all to love you better, to love you more than we ever done before. In the name of Jesus, thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening.